Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. Those of you who have heard our introduction multiple times, and some of you have heard it for the first time, you may say that Minister Farrakhan, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is painting a pretty bleak picture of the future of black people. Well, Mr. Farrakhan's called many things, but he's not called a liar. And his statements are based on his faith and belief in his devotion to his teacher, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And a lot of everything that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has put before us, and what Minister Farrakhan is also carrying, has been proven to be true, or can be proven to be true. So if this is the case, if our future in America, under the control and under the umbrella of our former slave masters, what is our future like? What should we do? What can we do? Well, this is the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. We don't debate whether or not we need to separate into our own communities. We say we are going to do that, and it's just a matter of how we're going to do it, when are we going to do it, what do we need to do it, and what do we need to prepare to do it. And that's what this show is about. And so we have one person in particular, one of our Time to Leave members, Sister Niambi Muhammad, who's been doing an excellent job of finding guests, finding people who've actually are putting together and have started communities. And we listen to their stories, and we listen to their advice, and we can take that information, and as we plan our own communities, we can apply it. Sister Niambi, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Carlson. How are you?
I am well, sister. So we are excited to have another wonderful show with you hosting and bringing on the wonderful guests, and we want to thank you very much for the efforts you're making in bringing these guests.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you. Well, I cannot take all the credit for tonight's guest. Your beautiful wife and our dear sister, Majida Muhammad, actually introduced this dear sister to me. I just reached out to her. So we want to thank Sister Majida as well for contributing to us having our guest on tonight's show.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sister Majida. And yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. No, I'm sorry. Were you going to say something else? I apologize.
No, I just want to say, Allah willing, she'll be on our show tonight, and we'll be able to thank her in person. So, Sister Niambi, I'm going to take a step back and give you the rest of the time. Our sister, Sister D. Dones, is on the line. I'm going to go ahead and open her mic.
Okay. Thank you. Are you there, Sister D.?
Yes, I am, sister. I'm here.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. So on tonight's show, we are truly blessed and very grateful to have our dear sister Dee Dones, who is caretaker of Shanti Atlanta. Shanti Atlanta is an extension of Shanti Villa Institute out of Tuskegee, Illinois. Shanti Villa Institute is an Ayurveda medicine school and eco center and farm run by Sister Dee's teacher, Sri Charles Davis. And so on tonight's show, Sister Dee is going to share with us a bit of information about Shanti Atlanta and the wonderful work that she is doing and that they are doing within our community. So, Sister Dee, before we begin, if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started with Shanti Atlanta.
Okay, and just a slight correction, sister. It's in Tuskegee, Alabama, so not Tuskegee, Illinois. I don't want people to be trying to go up to Illinois saying, "Where is Tuskegee?" It's Tuskegee,
oh,
Alabama.
Thank you. I didn't even realize I said it. Thank you so much. I'm looking right now.
Okay, so, you know, thank you so much for having me on the show, and I am the caretaker of Shanti Atlanta, which is an extension of Shanti Villa Institute, located in the historic Tuskegee, Alabama area. And I got started with what we do at Shanti Villa in Shanti Atlanta. What we do is we teach Agnahotra, which is an Ayurvedic practice done in the pyramid that's done at sunrise and sunset, and this practice has been scientifically proven to reverse pollution and deal with climate change. And the effect of that is that when you heal the planet, you heal yourself. And so this comes from the knowledge of the Vedas, and this is the gift to all of mankind to be able to deal with the things that are happening with our society now. And so my teacher, Sri Charles, he's been doing Agnahotra and homotherapy for more than 45 years, and I've been his student for about 8 years. And I've been here at Shanti Atlanta for about 2 years. And what we're here to doing is that we're teaching this knowledge of Agnahotra to everyone, especially the ones in the at-risk communities, because these are the places where the ravages of climate change and the pollution, and which leads to high crime and drug addiction and things like that. This happens more in these areas where there are limited resources. So Sri Charles has traveled all over the world teaching in various countries in Africa and various countries everywhere. And then we go around the United States currently to teach in the at-risk communities how to be peaceful, how to sustain themselves by growing their own food, as well as setting up Agnahotra places within the community so they can be in charge of dealing with this, because as everyone know that is listening, that may know, I'm sure everyone knows, that you can't rely on the government. You can't rely on these politicians because they lie, and there's been a suppression of information going on now. And so I was, before I met Sri Charles, to get to that part of your question, I was already setting up an intentional community. I was in the process of that. I think you and I were discussing that earlier on our phone call of the day. through a nonprofit that I was a board member of, and we had set up a an urban garden in Lithonia, Georgia. And we were teaching people in that area about creating their own food system, growing healthy food, addressing the high blood pressure and the other health problems that happens at a higher rate in these poor communities, because not only are they food deserts there, they're food swamps, because you have one grocery store and it doesn't have healthy food. So this is what I was doing. And so in that process, we needed a farm consultant, because we were working on doing a bigger community in Lithonia where we were going to have tiny houses, straw bale houses, you know, and we were going to have low income people, stay at home moms, senior citizens as well. We were going to live there too as well. And we were going to do this as a way to build community and grow fresh food together and teach various aspects of green energy techniques and farming and, you know, keeping bees and just living off the land, which a lot of us have forgotten as we live in these concrete jungles around the United States and other parts of the world as well. So in the research that my friend that owned the nonprofit did, she said, oh, there's a black man in Tuskegee. He started the very first black environmental organization in the 1970s. She says, we need to reach out to him and maybe he can help us develop this intentional community. And that is how I met my teacher. I did not start out thinking that I would, you know, study with this master, but it was destiny. And I found my life's purpose in working with Shanti Villa Institute and working with Sri Charles. And I just expanded what I was already doing. We didn't get that project going due to the city did not want to put funds into the program that we were trying to do. You know how all that goes. So that ended. And then I just deepened my learning, training with my teacher, Sri Charles. And then I began to just get more invested in starting a movement here in Atlanta that would turn into a national movement to get people really involved in the low-income communities to galvanize and protect and prepare, because people have no idea, sister, that they're not going to have enough food for everyone. They won't tell you that, but all these food recalls that have been happening the last several months, you know, there's pollution coming in from the air. There's pollution in the soil. You have ethylene oxide coming from these plants that manufacture all these poisonous items. We're destroying the planet, and they're not going to be able to help all the people. You won't be able to go to the grocery store to go buy food. You're going to have to grow your own food. You're going to have to be off grid to be able to survive. And they're not telling you this, but I know all these things because I've seen the grants, as we, you know, we did receive grants through that nonprofit I was working with. And I've seen the grants where all, you know, all these community gardens, they're giving you money for this stuff. And I said, well, guys, this is interesting. And I realized, I said, wait a minute, these are high areas of pollution. They're not going to tell you, hey, we can't feed you, but here, let's give you money so you can start a community garden. That's their way of trying to take it off of the government's responsibility. They're trying to get people to do this kind of without telling them you got to do this because we can't provide for you. So I've been paying attention, and what we do at Shanti Villa Institute in Shanti, Atlanta, we talk to scientists from all over the world. We've talked to scientists in various countries in Africa, here in America, Australia, everywhere. I mean, the pollution is in every corner of the world. And you see all of this chaos. You see all, you know, what's happening in Hong Kong. There's some protests happening in every corner of the world. And when you look at the pollution statistics, and we follow it and track this all the time all over the world, you will see that there are wildfires. Like in Australia, there's a wildfire in every corner in Australia going on right now. Very, very major stuff going on. In California, there's a water shortage. They won't tell you that. The wildfire's there. And then I think I reported on my Facebook page very recently that there's a drought in one of the countries in Africa where people are going to have to leave from the area. So you're talking about migration on a large scale from many different countries because of food insecurity and because we've messed with and tampered with the soil, the water, and the air. And the way that we can solve this is by doing the agriculture, which is a natural thing. Pyramids have been around for many, many centuries, and pyramids appear all over the world. They are the antennas that keep the world in place. And now because of pollution, the antennas are off. You know, we've messed up the air, the upper ionosphere, all of this stuff. And now nature is rebelling on a grand scale because we've not done a very good job of being stewards for the earth. And so that's kind of a quick summary of my purpose in life, my work here, and the mission that we have at Shanti Villa Institute and Shanti Atlanta, because we have to get the people the information so they can take care of themselves, because the government will not do it. It is we the people, we outnumber any government, and we have to take the reins to take care of ourselves and be our own heroes. And that is really what my mission in life is all about.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for that. Now, as we continue the conversation, I'd just like to continue talking just a little bit about your endeavor to establish an intentional community. And you mentioned, you know, there being kind of a lack of funding, or the government not being willing to fund your idea towards an intentional community. What were some of the other challenges that you all faced in establishing an intentional community?
Well, the main thing is that you have to have people that are working hard. And so we found that there were a lot of people that loved the idea of an intentional community, but they were not willing to put forth the work. I mean, I was the person in charge of research and doing the community outreach. And, I mean, we developed an 80-page or 90-page Google document. So when people wanted to say, hey, I want to come join, they read this and said, oh, my God, this is hard work. I said, well, yeah, you just can't live here for free. We need someone that has skills, like that can build and repair things, an electrician, or can you grow food? You know, who's going to teach classes on, you know, healthy eating and things like that. So we found that it was a lot of people that were interested, but they were not interested in the work. And that's apart from the government funding. We were in communications with some people in a county, DeKalb County, and they were okay with that. But, you know, we were looking to get some land that was abandoned. I think it was like we were looking at parcels that were about 5 acres, 10 acres, and, you know, they were abandoned for like 40 or 20 years. They did not want to offer any effort to, hey, you can have this land. And we explained to them. And usually when you're dealing with the county government, you have to solve a problem they have. And I said, well, hey, you have in this county, here are the statistics on the number of old people that are sick or depressed or the crime rate. I said, if you have a community like this, then you solve the problem with that, as well as homelessness, because, you know, we have too many houses for you to have homeless people in this country. It's ridiculous. And so I remember at one of the meetings, someone said to me, well, who would want to live in a tiny house? And I had to explain to that person, the person that is living in a weekly motel, you know, not in a good neighborhood, and you can see their children are getting off the school bus, walking to this very unsavory place to live, they would love to live in a tiny house. And, of course, you can't go to the county and tell them, we don't want people to have mortgages and be in debt. We know if we build a tiny house, we can have them self-sufficient in something that they can maintain on their own without, you know, the confines of a mortgage, which is like a chain around the neck. I couldn't tell them that, but I could say, hey, we're solving these issues with crime, poverty, depression, and unhealthy residents. So those were the things that we dealt with when dealing with the local government. So, you know, like I said, it was just very hard to find enough people that had the common mission of not just reading a document and saying, yeah, I can do this, but actually willing to put in the work, because it's a group effort. So those were our specific difficulties with that project.
Okay. So now I want to talk a little bit about, before we're going to get to Shanti Atlanta, but I know with the Shanti Institute down in Tuskegee, Alabama, on your website, it mentioned that it is an Ayurveda meditation and home and wellness retreat. No, I'm sorry, that's Shanti Atlanta. But the Shanti Villa Institute is an Ayurveda medicine school with an eco center and farm. Tell us about the 13-acre Homa farm down in Tuskegee. And what is a Homa farm?
Well, Homa is what we call farming. When you use the resultant ash that comes from you doing the process of agnihotra, when you're burning the cow dung, rice, and ghee, it creates an Ayurvedic ash. And when you use it in farming, it's called Homa farming. So all of the fires that we do, including agnihotra and the other fires that we do, it's called Homa farming. And Homa farming, so anyone that's listening knows, this was used in a portion of the Amazon rainforest where the people could not live there because they had a fungus that grew there that destroyed the crops. And so when you do this, it revitalizes the soil. It puts nutrients back into the soil, increases the plant yield, and cuts your harvest time. So they took a bunch of scientists, I think this was about maybe 14 years ago, and they took people like my teacher and other masters that were doing agnihotra, and they did this for about 3 months, and they were able to revitalize the land with Homa farming. So when you see on the website that it's a Homa farm, my teacher, Sri Charles, he's been doing 4 hours of Homa fire every day for more than 45 years. So it creates this tremendous protective bubble that puts nutrients into the air. And just to explain that and put it in context, when you do agnihotra at sunrise and sunset, it creates a protective bubble that goes it's an 8-mile radius and 2 miles, 8 miles up, I'm sorry, in 2-mile radius. And so this is measurable. When you go to Google Scholar and you look up all the studies that have been done on agnihotra and Homa therapy and Homa farming, most of them have not been done in the United States, even though Tuskegee University and Auburn University, they did some unofficial studies. But you will see that they're measuring how the atmosphere is cleansed and, you know, how far up and around. So when you're doing this on a farm, for instance, or intentional community, like let's say you have an intentional community, for Homa farming, you would put a pyramid in the center of the farm, and then you would put 4 other pyramids, east, west, north, and south, and then you would go to the center of the farm, and you would do agnihotra at sunrise and sunset, because this is based on the circadian rhythm of nature. So it's right in sync with nature. And for those of you all that read the almanacs, this is how farmers did things for centuries. You know, you planted during a certain time. There's a certain time you would harvest. There are different things. So this is based on very ancient knowledge. And so that's why it's called a Homa farm. So when you go to Shanti Villa Institute, you will feel this energy. And then we're able to grow things abundantly, things you shouldn't even be able to grow. He's able to grow aloe vera plants. You're not supposed to be able to grow aloe vera plants in the South, but you can. And I'm telling you, we have a rosemary bush that is so beautiful and thick. When I forget to get rosemary from Tuskegee at the farm, and I had to go get it from the grocery store in Atlanta, it doesn't even look like real rosemary to me because things look very different in a Homa atmosphere. And so the energy that Sri Charles has put there has made the soil very happy. The worms are happy. Everything is happy over there. So when people come visit, you know, we have a meditation area. We have a building where we teach the Ayurvedic medicine classes. I teach Ayurvedic medicine as well here in Atlanta. But we have healthy eating classes, yoga classes. We have all these things for people to learn how to take care of their bodies, the planets, and to be self-sufficient. Because that's really what we have to do. In these days and times, we have cows there. And Ayurvedic cows produces the cow dung we use. They eat grass, you know, that is grown in the Homa atmosphere. So these are very happy, beautiful cows. No factory cows, you know, on our farm. And so everything is very beautiful and peaceful. And so going there, people often say that they have a feeling of peace and serenity, and that's because everything we do is based upon the rhythm of love. There's a vibration of love when you step in front of the pyramid to do the fire. The vibration is in the air. It's everywhere. It goes into the soil because you're doing something where you're restoring the soil. We take so much from the environment. We have to put nutrients back in there. And this is what agriculture does. When you do that, you, the person, the human that is performing agriculture, you yourself are raised up in vibration because then you become more loving. Your thinking changes to more loving thoughts. You become a much more productive citizen. You become a better wife, a better mother, a better son, a better sister, brother, whatever it is, you become better. So whatever faith you practice, or even if you don't have a faith, it makes you a better person. We deal with people from all across the world, all different faiths and paths of life, and we are open to teaching and everyone because this is about people. We, the humans, becoming better and being the best that you can be. This is not about any one group of people, but for sure we want to make sure that people of color are given this information so that they can liberate their minds from this way of thinking and being negative. There's nothing that we can't do because we have hearts of love. We persevere all the time. And agriculture is a way to remind you of who you are, your roots, that you're powerful and strong, that you're not weak, that you do have a say-so of how you live in the society, no matter what other people who are in charge may say they can or can't do. It doesn't make a difference because agriculture gives you the power. You are the human. You're strong and beautiful, and you're imbued with the beauty and strength of the Creator.
Yes, ma'am. Wow. I love it. I love it. You're really speaking my language. So bringing it back to Ashanti Atlanta, or Ashanti Atlanta, and the Ayurveda Stress Therapy Clinic and the work that you do there, talk to us a bit about that.
Well, we've been so blessed. Dr. Chris Bowe and Dr. Lanice Gardy, they are two black chiropractors. They're husband and wife chiropractors, and they practice agriculture. And so they're rebranded their entire chiropractic practice, and it's called agriculturewellness.com. And they are dedicated to bringing this ancient knowledge to not only regular patients, but to low-income patients. So what they will be doing, they will be offering home and chiropractic care through nonprofits, you know, 501(c). Anyone that has a nonprofit that's listening, if you would like your patients to come and receive free chiropractic care, please contact us or contact me, and we would like to bring this knowledge to them. I will be teaching Ayurvedic stress therapy sessions there because usually when people go to get this sort of knowledge, they have to go to the, you know, Deepak Chopra Center, which is a nice place, but it's expensive, and poor people can't afford that. Or people go buy retreats, or they go to these special programs that are expensive, and it shouldn't be that way. Knowing how to take care of yourself, your body, the planet, that is something that you should know how to do as a human being. You should know how to take care of yourself without running to the doctor. You should know how to plant vegetables and not have to worry about pesticides being sprayed on your food that you're eating. And you shouldn't have to worry about your children having behavioral problems because they're eating bad food. And so Drs. Chris and Dr. Grady, they are dedicated to helping us start the movement in Atlanta. We're going to be doing a free Ayurvedic agriculture wellness fair on January the 25th from 11:45 a.m. to 3 p.m. right there on the south side of town. We're near the airport. So people, those of those communities in Riverdale, Forest Park that are low income, please tell people to attend. If you are a provider, if you're a medical doctor, a chiropractor, some other practitioner, or if you are a nonprofit or just a concerned citizen, please come out and let us show you what you can do for your community, because we're about community building, and the doctors at Agriculture Wellness, they're about helping the people. They're not thinking about themselves. You know, when we met them, they're like, how can we help? What can we do? And so they've opened up their office to us, and Sri Charles is director of the agriculture training there at Agriculture Wellness, and I'm in charge of the stress therapy sessions. And I will be working there throughout each week, probably a couple of days a week or more, depending on demand for services. But we're here to serve, And these doctors have beautiful hearts, and they're just willing to just open up their business and their hearts to everyone to try to give back and help to get to a greater understanding of being loving and peaceful and being self-sufficient in the society that we live in now.
It just keeps getting better and better. Okay, now I'm so serious, sis. This is so beautiful. But we've reached the point in the show where we do allow callers who may be on the line to ask questions. And if not, okay, we'll continue with our conversation. But
okay,
Brother Carlson, are there any callers waiting in the queue?
As a matter of fact, there are. Brothers and sisters, if you're enjoying the conversation, if you want to come in or leave a question or have a question asked, please press the 1 to be put in the queue in chronological order, and God willing, before the end of the show, you will be able to make your comment or ask your question. And we have a caller on the line. It's one of our Time to Leave members, Sister Majida Muhammad. Sister Majida Muhammad, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Thank you, Sister Niambi, for following through for sure. And I'm like you, Sister D. I mean, this is so beautiful. I'm like Sister Niambi. I'm sitting here writing and taking notes and saying wow as well. But I wanted to thank you for sharing your knowledge and your work. And I just want to say your presence is so calming and inspiring. I can see, you know, how you have the success that you do in what you're doing. And I could hear your desire basically for us to return to the way we were regarding living a more simplified and natural life. That really comes through. And I had a question. I wanted to ask you, how difficult has it been? Because I know you said you, in your outreach, you work with at-risk communities. And how difficult has that been to educate those communities, our communities, to take degrees of, you know, self-sufficiency? Because like you said, when things hit the fan, and we've seen it over and over in time, there's no one coming for us. We have to depend on God and ourselves. So how difficult has it been, or has it been difficult, to educate our communities on, you know, taking on degrees of self-sufficiency, like the growing of their own food and et cetera?
Yes. Well, it is very difficult, Susan. I must say it requires a lot of patience and understanding, because, you know, we've gotten so far away from our roots. And, you know, when we were living many centuries ago without all this rigmarole of society, this is how we were living. We would grow food with our mothers and grandmothers. We lived together communally. This is what we did. And so in the communities, I find that there is some resistance. I mean, for instance, the community in Lithonia, unfortunately, as soon as we left that project, they don't even have the garden anymore. And in Lithonia specifically, they have a higher poverty rate than the national average. They have more disabilities there. They needed the garden. But the thing is that what we teach, sister, is not to be the crutch. We want to teach this so you can do this yourself within your own community, because we can't live with everyone. But if I teach you how to do it, then you can pass this on and you can continue this and teach other people. And so it breaks my heart when sometimes I'm dealing with something, you know, the mother that is frustrated, you know, she doesn't have a husband in the household. She's got these children and they are resistant. And it bothers me too. And the men, maybe their brains are, you know, like, hey, I need to use this drug, or I need to be out here in the street, because they need to be liberated from that type of thinking. So it is an uphill battle, which is why I'm so glad to be on the show. We're asking everyone to please come with the doctors and to the wellness fair, because we all have to work together. I'm so very concerned about our communities. I mean, I stay up late up at night and I hear these things and it breaks my heart. And I, you know, I just keep plugging along, but you know, we have to help each other, because we can't live we can't let the people that need it the most just fall by the wayside. We simply cannot.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Thank you, sister. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Well, thank you for that question, Sister Majida. We're going to leave your mic open. And we have another caller. We have caller with the last four digits, 5586. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from? Caller, you're on the air. With the last four digits, 5586. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Greetings and assalamu alaikum to the Muslims and peace to all listening. This is Brother William Muhammad out of Albany, Georgia.
I recognize your voice. I was about to say.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Greetings and assalamu alaikum, Brother Carlton. I had a question for your guest in that if you could spell some of the terminology that you're using. I have a medical background. I'm an osteopathic physician as well as being a licensed electrician. And I'm in the belief of wholeness, of health, and being an osteopath physician, we utilize physical manipulation of body structures as well as using that for diagnosis and incorporating nutrition and health and in the health and well-being of our patients. So if you could give me some spelling so that I can actually look up some more things on my own, that would be appreciated, as well as repeating the date that you have the event taking place in January. That would be helpful as well.
Oh, yes. Certainly. I'm so glad that you have called me with the question. So Agnihotra is spelled A-G, N as in Nancy, I-H-O. T-R-A, Agnihotra. And so when you go to Google Scholar, because we do have several people in the medical profession that practice it and do it with their patients, you will see studies dealing with pharmacology of the smoke. You will see homotherapy, which is H-O-M-A. You'll see homofarming. And then you'll see, I'm trying to think what else you'll see on there, but you will see studies that talk about what happens to the air. It actually cleanses water. You will see where they're studying the nutrient base before and after in the soil. There are some doctors, too, that actually use this for drugs, the addiction, and PTSD. As a matter of fact, someone brought in their child, a friend of mine has a child that is kind of violent and they're autistic, and he was like, I'm nervous from bringing him here, but he was calmed down. I have people that have asthma. As a matter of fact, someone had asthma and said it's pretty bad. They came and sat in front of the fire and it changed, you know, how they were breathing. And so the studies they're not official studies done at Tuskegee, they show the before with the resting heart rate and then after doing Agnihotra. So it is a difference, and I can just tell you from my personal experience. So if you ever do Agnihotra, you can actually test your pulse yourself. And so like for me, I was telling a student the other day, I find that I don't take as many breaths, and I've been doing this for 8 years. So the breathing improves, the clarity of your thoughts improves. So there's a lot of things that can be done with people with mood disorders. And then if you like, I can actually get you in touch with a medical doctor, that she's been practicing for, I think, about 2 or 3 years. She's spoken with me at the Spelman at the Heart Health Brunch a couple of years ago. She can actually tell you, you know, what she's noticed just in her own. She's not practicing currently. She's doing, you know, alternative therapies with patients. But I can actually get you in touch with some nurses and medical doctors and other medical people across the whole world that can tell you their experiences with dealing with patients if you would like. And you're welcome to call or drop me an email, and I can put you in touch with those people that can, you know, point you towards other things that can help in your research if you would like.
Absolutely.
And then you wanted to know the date. So the date, again, is January the 25th, which is a Saturday. It's from 11:45 a.m. to 3 p.m. If you go to agnihotrawellness.com, that's AGNIHOTRAwellness.com, you'll see it's posted on, I think, yeah, she just posted it, Dr. Raquel just posted it on the website. We are taking registration because we have a conference room that's up down from their office, and I'm sure that a lot of people are going to be coming now. So I think she's going to cut off the registration at 150 people. But we're going to have Sri Charles will be there, my teacher will be there to talk. I will be presenting. Dr. Chris will be there, of course. Dr. Raquel, and then we're going to have Mommy Yogi that's going to be talking about doula and natural childbirth, and which includes the father as well, because sometimes that's not included when we are talking about doing things naturally. So, yeah, please feel free to email or call me so I can connect you with all the medical professionals that are already practicing various homotherapies and Agnihotra.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you sharing and enlightening even myself. I don't see myself as one who can't learn more, and that's what I'm open to. So I thank you again.
I thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
And thank you for your question, Brother William. Okay, so we have another caller. It is our time to leave. Founder, Dr. Ridgely. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Wa alaikum assalam. So could you give half-sister D to give her email address, please?
Yes, sure. It's Shanti, and that's S-H-A-N-T-I, shantiatlantacenter@gmail.com. That's Shanti spelled S-H-A-N-T-I, atlantacenter@gmail.com.
Okay, thank you very much. And I did go on the website and looked. Well, I looked up Homo farming.
Yes.
And what it reminded me of was it's basically the way we used to live in small villages, where you had your animals, your cows,
mm-hmm.
for milk. And sometimes meat, but you rotated the fields that they would eat in,
mm-hmm.
so that the dung would go back into the soil. They would collect some of this dung and use the dung for cooking, in terms of
yes.
for fire. They would burn it to use it for cooking, and therefore what the Homo farming is trying to do is replicate that type of subsistence farming in small villages the way we did for hundreds of thousands of years.
Yes.
However, we supplied everything that we needed in terms of we'd make our own furniture, we'd make our own shoes, we'd make
mm-hmm.
our own clothes, we would make our own cut down wood to make a cart and tie the horse or the cow to the cart, and that would be our transportation, or we would
mm-hmm.
walk, and we would carry things. I mean, this is why we can carry things on our head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you used to be able to do that. However, we live in a market money economy where people are used to doing one thing on a job that has nothing to do with what they need to survive, and they take the money and they buy those things that are on the market that somebody else is producing. And so when you try to pull people away from that, it's hard to get them to pull away from the market economy to go back into a what's called a subsistence level of living. Where you are responsible for everything that you need, and the people around you are also working in harmony with you, instead of people working on the plantation and then taking the money to buy from the plantation store. That's the plantation economy that we live in now versus a subsistence economy. And it's difficult to break people away from the plantation economy As a matter of fact, you move up from one level of plantation to the next. If you're really good, you move up to the big house. That's called the NBA professional team. Okay? That's a big plantation. Now you make a lot of money, and you can go out and buy a lot of things. But you don't know how to do anything but shoot a basketball. So this is, you know, like we have singers, okay? But in Africa, everybody can sing and dance. Singing is just what you do. Dancing is just what you do, but those dances had meaning for that culture in relationship to what they needed to do to survive. But now they have these talent scouts to find singers, and we'd be competing with one or another to become a great singer, and then they pull them people away from us, like they're doing Damon Dash now, and coming back and trying to put him in jail. So what I'm saying is, we move from a subsistence economy to a plantation economy, and once the people who live on a plantation, the slaves, have made it to the big house to be a house slave, it's very difficult to get them out the house to go back in the field. So as you said, when you were trying to develop a community, a community in Lithonia where the people had to work, W-O-R-K is, in fact, a four-letter negative word. So the level that we have to go now to explain to the people why we in what we are, we're going to have to show them the Wakanda that we're moving to. Otherwise, they're going to feel that they are just losing out on the modern time and are stepping back into the caves. Because when they are in contact with family members and friends, that's what they're going to put on them. Man, I thought you was going to make it. Man, you're going back in the woods to live like a pauper. And people can't handle that unless they have a clear understanding of what they're doing and why. So the educational piece is a must to get the people to make a move, and this is why we have the Time to Leave program to try to educate our people and find those who understand the time and what must be done. So thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you.
And for giving us an opportunity to come to that event that you all are holding in Tuskegee, right?
No, it's in Atlanta. It's on the south side of town, near
Atlanta.
The airport. It's in Atlanta, yes.
Okay. Okay, great. Now you give the information out to us again and how they can contact it to get on board. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much. And on a little side note, I mean, as many of you all know, cow dung is very medicinal in many countries all across the world. If you had tuberculosis, they would put you in a hut with cow dung, and it's been very medicinal. All the properties that are used for agriculture practice, they're very medicinal. Ghee itself, we use ghee. That's medicinal. Brown rice. And the pyramid itself is something that generates a lot of energy, which is why we use copper. It's the copper pyramid. So all of these items, it forms something that's very medicinal for the planet as well as yourself. I just wanted to add that in there.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for your comments, Dr. Visley. And we're down to the last 10 minutes, brothers and sisters. If you heard something that you want to comment on, if you want to ask a question, you still have time to ask a question. But up until then, I'm going to hand the show back over to Sister Niambi.
Okay. Well, as Brother Carson said, we have about 10 minutes left. And so, Sister D, I guess you could take about 5 minutes or so and just talk to us just a little bit more in detail about the work that you do with the youth.
Okay, so we find that young people are probably a little bit more open than us older people. So we like to work with the youth to give them the real understanding of what really pollution and climate change and how that affects them. So For instance, in Macon County in Alabama, we are working with the chairman and commissioner Maxwell for the Green Program, where the kids would be directly involved in learning about these things and teaching their parents as well as other community members about the environment. He was in charge of the water in Macon County years ago, and he says, oh, all of the water near the schools is tainted. And, of course, our kids are going to these schools, and they're drinking this water, and it's tainted. And so he says, I don't want to leave this world to my grandchildren where it's in such bad shape. So we are, Sri Charles and I will be working with Chairman Commissioner Maxwell on the initiative involving the youth. The youth will be involved with going out in nature, finding out the local ecosystem. They'll be helping with their science teachers at school to teach this, and they'll be going to their neighbors and community members, teaching them about things other than recycling, because at this point, recycling is not going to help reset the planet's system. We have to do these things to restore the nutrients. And so this is what we are teaching the children, because they're open to new information, which, like I said, unfortunately, some of us older people are not quite so open. But we encourage children to learn and share this with all many different types of people and their other childhood friends and things like that, because it's going to take all of us, and the young people can lead the way with their knowledge and understanding, because they will be taking over once all of us are passed away and gone.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Thank you. And so as Brother William kind of touched on with his question, so if there were individuals who wanted to get involved with the community, maybe volunteer, I don't know, what process, any way that they might want to become involved with the great work that you all are doing, what process would they need to go through, if any?
Oh, goodness. Well, it's simple. We're very open people. We're very giving with the information. We're not out there for the money. I think all the listeners can tell we're not about the money. You know, we all are very poor ourselves. I gave up a very lucrative career in public relations to do this work, because it was not about the money if we don't have a planet. So you can come, if you're in Atlanta, you can come to Shanti Atlanta, and I will teach you for free about Agnihotra. And what we would like you to do is to teach your community, do this in your community, teach other people. Because there's only so many D's and Tree Charles's, you know, I can't duplicate myself that way. So you're welcome to come learn. If you're in the area of Tuskegee, Alabama, you're welcome to come to Shantyville Institute. And, of course, support the two doctors, the chiropractors up at Agnihotra Wellness, because we're going to be reaching out to the at-risk community. So those are the ways in which you can volunteer. I mean, get involved in your community. We will teach you for free. This is not about money. You don't have to buy a pyramid from us. We can show you how to make one, you know. I mean, so it's not about us, you buying it from us. Just get, you know, get the information out there. So please contact me, and I can get you in touch. We can make an appointment. You can come by, and we can teach this. So, you know, we live in very simple surroundings. My place is small. I don't have 13 acres like my teacher's place. I have, you know, a little bit less than an acre. And so very simple surroundings, but I'm here to teach any and everyone. I'm here and available for everyone, and so is Sri Charles. And like I said, we're starting the movement in Atlanta as well as Tuskegee, so we want this to go national. So tell as many people as possible so we can get Black people engaged in some self-sufficiency and knowledge.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, could you give us a specific information? The Ashanti, could you slow down and give us how you spell that? The Ashantiville. Is
okay,
that right?
Shanti Atlanta. Yeah, Shanti Atlanta is Shanti, Shanti Atlanta. And you can find me on Facebook. You can go to Health Plus Lifestyle, and that's the main website. And I have a tab for Shanti Atlanta. The stress therapy, as well as Shanti Atlanta, the retreat. Shanti Villa Institute is Shanti Villa Institute, and that's ShantiVillainInstitute.com. That's my teacher's place, Master Sri Charles in Tuskegee, Alabama. And I normally handle, you know, the business for both places. So if you contact me, I can coordinate for both places because it just makes it easier for him because we got so much stuff going
okay.
on.
How do we contact you again?
Shanti Atlanta. Go to Health Plus Lifestyle. That's that website, and then you'll see the tab for Shanti Atlanta, and then you can also email
Health Plus. HealthPlus.com.
Lifestyle. HealthPlusLifestyle.com.
And then on there, they can go to Shantae Atlanta.
Yeah, I have a tab for that. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I just want to say, I went to the Google and I typed in Shantae Atlanta, and my first hit was on your website, sister.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's great.
And for those listening that may not have caught all of that, I've shared the web page on the Time to Leave page, but I'll share it again so that it's more readily available and easily accessed. I'll share it again once the show ends.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, that leaves us, Brother Carlson, with about 3 minutes or so. Sister D, we are so very, very grateful to have you on tonight's show. It has been a beautiful show, a very informative show. Your spirit, your energy is so calming and beautiful, and we can feel the expression of love emanating from you. So, again, we thank you immensely for coming on the show. We hope to build a relationship and a friendship with you. I hope many of us can come out to the event that is happening at the end of the month. So, again, I just want to say thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on the show, and thank you so much for everyone for being open and receptive, and I'm very appreciative of everyone. Thank you so much.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in, and we're striving to have wonderful shows interviewing those of us who are active in the community. So God willing, we'll have another wonderful guest. So please tune in next week. Thank you to Sister Nyambi and her guest. And may Allah bless you all with a wonderful week. As-salamu alaykum.
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed.
Uh-huh.
Down. Out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel,
uh-huh.
Not just my spare tire.
Oh.
But Lord, I ask you,
oh,
to be my force and truth.
Oh.
For some strange reason, it had to be.
Oh.
He guided me to Tennessee.
Oh.
Down to Peace Street.
Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth. And he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am searching for are the answers to all the